and welcome to the 100 podcast. Zen Charlie here with you. Hope you're well. Today we're doing another of our retention specials. Retention deadline day is fast approaching, so we're looking at every single 100 franchise to go through the players that they should keep around on the men's and women's side of things. This time round, it's the one and only Manchester Originals, one of the vibiest and weirdest T20 white ball teams, whatever you want to say, in 2022 on the men's side. Women's side have lots of high quality domestic players they'll be wanting to keep around. Charlie, it's both of these sides are a really, really interesting discussion.
Absolutely. I think these are two really interesting teams, plenty of talent across both men's and women's sides. Which one do you want to keep? Which one do you want to let go? Particularly in the women's department, I think that's going to be a really tricky one because when you only got four slots, it's really hard. I'm pretty happy what we've got here, but I think there's some debates to be had.
Yeah, I think there are some debates to be had. And we'll get onto the women's side in a moment where I think draft dynamics come into things a decent amount. Let's start with the men. I mean, there's lots of building blocks here. Josh Butler already centrally contracted. He's going to play all year this year, you'd imagine. Phil Salt had a good season last year, sitting him in 100K. We're keeping Wanindu Hasaranga at 125. Obviously, wasn't able to come over last year, but Sri Lanka have great availability. You'd think he'd be able to come over this year, so you're good about that. There's lots to like. Tristan Stubbs and Matt Parkinson, we're keeping at 75K. Richard Gleeson, 60K. Tom Hartley, 50K. And we're keeping Paul Walter at 40K. And Freddie Claassen and Mitch Stanley in at 30K. You look at the talent you have here. You have Butler and Salt, great opening partnership. Feel great about that. Stubbs and Walter in that middle order are fun. You know, you look at the bowling, you have three really quality spinners. Hasaranga is very different to Parkinson, so you have a lot of variety and diversity in that attack. Tom Hartley maybe can top and tail a bit more. Hasaranga and Parkinson through the middle. Gleeson as a seamer you feel good about. There's just lots to like about this side, especially if Paul Walter can keep up that form from last year with the ball. So you're in a really, really nice position here. But there are some key players that we're letting go. Josh Little, you know, had a good season last year. We are going to let him go this year. And I think the reason being, Charlie, is that when we look at this side, I think we're both really, really keen to use that third overseas slot to bring in a seamer of real, real high quality. Because if you can bring in a great seamer, pair them with Richard Gleeson, and you have that gun spin attack, you just feel unbelievably good about this bowling lineup.
It has been an issue for the Originals over the last couple of seasons, lacking that one absolute gun seamer. It's been their Achilles heel a little bit. Josh Little is a very good bowler, and I would be interested to keep that right to match option open for him if things didn't go my way. But with that top 125K slot, I would absolutely be looking to target someone like Anrik Norkeya, Kagiso Rabada, Trent Bolt, that quality of gun overseas seamer. I think those are the kind of players that we're expecting to see available in the draft. I think it's worth throwing that first pick at someone like that.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely worth it. And look, they have some nice, you know, backup players in Mitch Stanley and Fred Claassen. You've got there some real nice depth pieces in case Gleeson gets injured. But I just feel like you feel so much better going in with a gun seamer who can dominate a top and tail of the innings. I just think you feel fantastic about that. Now, there are two ways of going about this. Maybe you kind of bring in, potentially, if there's a good domestic player at the top of the draft, maybe you go that direction and you could bring in maybe a something cheaper overseas seamer in maybe, I don't know, a Berendorf or a Richardson, wherever you want to go. I think, though, that we'd both be quite keen to see a Norkeya and Rabada here. You just think about what that attack could be if you were able to have a gun seamer, good Richard Gleeson, great spin attack, Paul Walter, a bit of Tristan Stubbs if necessary for a bit of extra spin. You just feel so good about that. So I think that's the option that we lean towards. The issue then is, how do you build this middle order? Because you've got Butler and Salt at the top, you feel great about that. Stubbs, Walter, Hasaranga, 5, 6, 7, fantastic. Then you're going to have to find a 3 and 4 from the domestic players available. That's the challenge. The good thing about this is they have a slot in round 3 open as well as round 1, and also in round seven. So they have the draft capital here, Charlie, to invest in some domestic middle order names. We don't know who they're going to be, but they do have the capital to do it.
They do. I think I want to address the elephant in the room quickly first, which is to say that we don't think they'll be going back in for Laurie Evans here. He would be a potential name otherwise, but but we think given the drug suspension, I think he's going through at the moment, and the fact that that did in fact happen on Manchester Originals duty, I think we both imagine they might want to move on from that and let him go. So that name we're not going to be considering for this. But it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I do think that's quite a hole for them, that 3 and 4 spot. I'd want someone who's a good player of spin. They had Wayne Madsen in there last year, who I don't think they used particularly well. I think he's a wonderful player of spin. He's definitely coming towards the end of his career now, but he's an option to come back lower down. But honestly, looking at the potential domestic names that could be available here in that 100K slot, I'm struggling a little bit to find a player who fits the bill.
It is difficult. Well, I think the benefit they do have is, again, it's all this draft capital. They have slots, and especially if they get that Gunseamer. If you have a Gunseamer, your seam attack consists of Gleeson, Gunseamer, and then obviously you've got Freddie Klaassen and Mitch Stanley lower down, and then Paul Walter as well. So you're fine with your seamers. You've got a great spin attack, so you know you're probably not thinking of investing in that necessarily. So you can effectively take swings in round 3, round 7, round 9, round 11. Three of those four slots you can take a swing at, basically. And then remember, you have the two wildcard slots as well. So given you have all these quality seamers lower down in the bracket, then you have a great spin attack and you feel great about your opening partnership, you can just throw all these resources at working out your middle order. You could just pick five middle order players. Maybe you use two or three of those slots in this draft and you go and get the breakout player of the vast. Now, you're going to probably be picking lower down in that wildcard draft, which complicates things, but there's two picks in that wildcard draft. So at the very least, even if we're not completely sure who we'd bring in, you just keep taking shots. And this is the benefit of having a Phil Sott at 100K, Parkinson 75K, Gleeson at 60K, Partley at 50K, all of this value that they have here. You can just continue to take shots. And I think that's the brilliant thing about this, especially given that you know the 100 is basically a team building process for 1 year. Right here, you have the core of a championship team. You can just take as many shots as possible. And we could reel off some names of who they could go after. Do you want to try and be the person who turns around Tom Banton? Maybe you're thinking about Sam Hain coming back. Maybe you're keen on the slower surfaces to have a look at Alex Davies. Not sure we would be, but maybe. Saif Zaib's had a good season. You bring him in lower down. And we're considering Jason Roy to be released. I'm not sure you'd want Roy, Salt and Butler at the top of the order on those spinning tracks. But my point is, you go through all of this and you're like, well, there are lots of options here. Tom Cadmore, I think, would fit nicely actually there with his ability to play spin. So even if there aren't clear solutions, you can just take shots and it doesn't matter because you have the capital to do so. So I think that's what excites me about this original side.
100%. And I think this is why it's so important to have that really solid core locked in early, because it does give you that flexibility. I would much rather be in this position where maybe you have that one hole, but you do have that really good super strength of that spin attack and that top order with the opening pair of Butler and Salt. I would take that over having a slightly aimless, directionless core of players who you don't really know what you're doing with anytime. Yes, there's a hole, but that super strength for me makes it worth it.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, right? Butler is a power onto his own in T20 franchise cricket, right? I think with Salt, Butler, Stubbs, Walter, you have some pieces there, especially with the attack you have. And if you can have a great attack and you have Butler and Salt there, you've got to feel pretty good about yourselves. So I'm feeling pretty confident in what this Manchester original side can be. It's all about talent identification and can they get the right players on what can often be a bit of a difficult track to play on at Old Trafford. So how are you feeling about this men's side before we go on to the women's outfit, Charlie?
Honestly, I'm feeling pretty good about them. We were quite down on them last year. They came good basically because they ended up replacing about half of their team that they originally drafted for one reason or another. So it became a very different team. But over the course of that year, they amassed a lot of very quality players. And when you can do that, then you can then retain the best ones, as we're assuming they'll do here. and you end up with what appears to be the makings of a very strong team. Yes, they've got that hole to fill, but if they go about that correctly in the right way at the draft, then who knows? This could be a very good team.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about them. Let's talk about the women's side. We were also kind of an interesting conversation, and we were having conversations about this podcast still about 5 minutes before we went on and recorded this about who we might target. Yeah, and we'll get on to the dynamics of how we've approached this in a moment. But the players we've kept, Sophie Eccleston, central contrast player in round two at 31K. The women's IPL auction's coming up. And if you kind of, take out Indian players out of that, otherwise they're probably going to be highest in demand. I would be spending a great deal of money on Sophie Eccleston. She would be the most expensive player I'd spend money on the women's IPL auction. Obviously, fantastic spinner. And the tracks they're playing on, I think, are just in Mumbai as well, which turns. So you feel pretty good about that. And then obviously can hit at the back end. So keeping Sophie Eccleston such a coup for the Manchester Originals, everything she brings, especially on that Old Trafford track, having a power hitter and a gun spinner, probably the best one in the world. Great. We're also keeping Lizelle Lee and Kate Cross in at round 3 and 4. Lizelle Lee had a strong season last year, lots of experience, keeps as well. Just a good player to keep around, and you feel great about captain Kate Cross. And then we're keeping Hannah Jones, left-arm spinner, in at round 8. Young player, bowled pretty well last year. Not a wicket-taking option, really. But on those kind of slow tracks at Old Trafford, those kind of, you know, that left-arm spin, I think, is going to be very useful. And, you know, locking her into that slot feels very valuable. So before we get into the way we've structured this and some other names we considered, I feel pretty strong about that core, Charlie.
I do as well. I think Old Trafford is a very spin-friendly track. So keeping Eccleston clearly a no-brainer. I mean, it would be on any track, but especially at Old Trafford, you wouldn't do that. Hannah Jones lowdown as well is a really solid second spinner to have. More of a defensive option, but young, plenty of upside, makes complete sense. Kate Cross, equally a no-brainer. And Lizelle Lee, I think a very experienced, good top-order batter, and the keeping option is very handy too. So you've got a lot of bases covered there. I think it's a solid core to work with.
One little nugget here. We talk about Hannah Jones being a young spinner, and she is. She's 24. She's older than Sophie Eccleston, who's still only 23, which is mind-blowing, given she's, you know, arguably the best player in the world.
That's so weird.
Fair play there. Let's just go through some of the names that we weren't able to keep. So in terms of the women's draft, you're only allowed to retain two centrally contracted players. We kept Cross and Eccleston, which meant that we had to let Emma Lamb go. Emma Lamb's a class player, going to get good money in the draft. I just think with Eccleston, it's a no-brainer. With Cross, she's a captain. It's difficult to find seamers. So even though we love Emma Lamb, you kind of have to make that tough decision. And it's part of this new draft mechanism. Decisions like that, which you don't want to make, have to be made.
Unfortunately, it is the nature of this new draft. You know, you have to let players you really like go, and it's going to hurt see him playing for other teams. You do have the right to match option, so it's possible they use that on Emma Lamb, but given the way our retention's grid is looking, I'm not sure they'll be able to make that work unless she goes later than we expect. I don't think it's going to happen. I think she's going to go elsewhere. It's going to be a shame, but she deserves to be paid quite well.
I also think it's probably a good thing for the move, actually, because, I mean, we know how good Emma Lamb is. She hasn't quite exploded for the Originals yet. I think maybe going to another franchise and getting a fresh start might be great for her. So fingers crossed, and I hope she gets lots of money. Obviously interviewed her on the podcast. Great cricketer. So fingers crossed there. So in terms of the player we haven't mentioned yet, who you're probably thinking, well, why haven't you tried to keep them around? It's Deandra Dotted. Now, obviously, bowls rapid. Destructive batter, played really, really nicely last year when she had the opportunity for the Originals. The reason we haven't is a draft dynamic situation. So we believe Dotin would command a round one or round two slot. That's completely fair. And we kind of feel like Lizelle Lee would be fine with keeping it round three. So whilst I think Dotin maybe has, you know, some you know, star quality or round quality you want to keep around, because they own the third overall pick in the draft, I think it makes much more sense to keep Lee at round three and open up that third overall pick, which might become Deandra Dotin. Now, the way this draft is structured, there are plenty of really good available players. Let me just read some of the players that you could take with a third overall pick who might be available. Marizan Kapp, Stefani Taylor, Alyssa Healy, potentially Amelia Kerr, Danny Wyatt, Deandra Dotin. Now, that is a great list. And by having that third overall pick available to you, you effectively get to choose from a really strong list of players. And so whilst we were keen to keep Dotton about, even if she was to go with one of the first two picks, you're still going to have a gun player there. So that's the reason we've done it that way. And I think when you have Eccleston, Lee, Cross and Jones there, that third overall pick, Charlie, that's super exciting. And there's so many options and so many directions you could go.
It's a really enticing option, isn't it? I think this is where draft management, game theory, that kind of stuff becomes really important to you, because essentially in this case, what it does is allow you to keep five players, because you're guaranteed to get Dotton back if you want her. Even if the Welsh Fire, London Spirit try and take her and you want her back, you can write to match her back. So guaranteed to get her if you want her. But you might find another very, very good player who you might want to take instead is available, and then you can do that. So either way, you're in a really good position. You have the option to basically keep five players, or you can get someone you think is better. Either way, you're in a great position. So if they approach it in this manner, I think they could be in a very strong position.
Yeah. Smriti Mandana as well. Lots of options for this original side with that third overall pick. And I'm really excited because there's going to be some absolute gun names going in that first round. And when I read that list, I cannot wait to see which players teams value the most. That's so exciting to me. So that's the nice thing about the originals here. As we say, you've got these four players, and then because you've got that third overall pick, you're guaranteed a gun there, which feels... Yeah, which fills you with so much excitement if you're an Originals fan. I feel pretty good about this Originals side overall. I think obviously with only four players there, it's always difficult, but you do feel like there's a core there, and you know there's plenty of options for them in this draft to kind of build up a strong squad. So I'm feeling good, but how are you feeling, Charlie?
I'm also feeling good. Then again, I felt good about the Manchester Originals women every year.
Yeah.
And every year they have not come good. So I'm going to stop saying that I feel good about them in case I am the curse. I will say that it's a really exciting core. I think having that third overall pick is very exciting if this is the way they go. And I think they have all the tools to be a very competitive side. Let's just hope that they can put it together in a way they haven't done in the previous seasons.
Thank you very much for listening to our Manchester Originals retention special. We've got podcasts on every single team on our feed, so go check that out. Whatever team you're supporting, we've gone through all the players they should be keeping. Head over to our Twitter page at Podcast100 to find out all of the good stuff. We'll have loads of reactions to the retentions and all the build-up to the draft on the way at Podcast100 on Twitter. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.